Right.
It's now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. And tonight's speaker is Jack from Visalia. And what he says is, when things get rough for him, I just think of all the gifts that God has given me and walk forward towards them.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Maytag Jack, and I'm an alcoholic. If you stick around long enough, you can earn a nickname like that. If you find a guy good enough to be your sponsor, or a woman good enough to be your sponsor, and she has a sense of humor. My sponsor gave me that handle, and it stuck from the first time he gave it to me. You know, I was born to be a drunk. I don't know about anybody else. I never planned to be a drunk. I never planned to be an alcoholic. But I was born to drink, and I was good at drinking. I got to tell you right from the start, the first time I ever... I don't know that I was born an alcoholic, and I've said this before, but I know that the day I drank, an alcoholic was born. And I know that because I was 9 years old. And I was raised in a family of... my family is migrant farm workers that came out of Missouri, Oklahoma, moved out to California, and they followed the crops from California up into Oregon seasonally back and forth for quite a few years before they settled down here in the Visalia area. When I was 7 years old, my father passed away, and at the same time, my mom remarried, and she married a Portuguese. So we became a migrant family, Portuguese dairy family. And most of the Portuguese side of my family was into the dairy business around here. My grandmother and grandfather were Joseph and Anna Amarell. And they had a dairy out on the old 328. And the family took it over when they got too old to do it, and they moved into town. I spent a lot of time at my grandmother's house. I was raised on fried pork chops, fried potatoes, biscuits and gravy, and then the other half of the week I was raised on Portuguese beans, rice pudding, and Portuguese sweetbread. It was real interesting. When I was 9 years old, my family liked to go, after my mom married into the Portuguese side of our family, liked to go every year to the Portuguese clam festival in Pismo. And we'd go out there and pitch camp for a whole weekend on the beach on one of them picnic grounds, and we'd get up early morning and go out and dig clams out of the sand. And then we'd have clam bakes all day and all weekend. Man, they could fry up some clam. I could tell you, you might think clam is an ugly food, but when they cook that clam the way they cook it, that stuff is good. I don't care what anybody says, it's friggin' good. It's like the okra you never thought you would eat, but then somebody cooks it right, and you can't get enough of it. It's like that. And anyways, when I was 9 years old, we're sitting at the picnic table having breakfast before going out to clam, and my Portuguese stepfather pulls this bottle out of his vest and sets it on the table, and there's a bunch of styrofoam glasses around everybody's place, and he takes this bottle and opens it up, and he tells us, "This is our antifreeze. I'm going to pour each one of you a little bit in that glass. You drink that, and your legs won't freeze out there in the water while you're digging for clams." And I have three brothers and four sisters. So it's my mom, my dad, my grandmother, my grandfather, and seven siblings and me sitting at this table. And he pours about this much in each one of those styrofoam glasses. And we start eating our breakfast, and I try my antifreeze. It don't taste too bad, so I drink a little more. I eat some more breakfast, and I finish it off. And about halfway through breakfast, he pulls the bottle back out, and he says, "Anybody want seconds on the antifreeze?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah." And he laughed and reached over and poured me another shot of antifreeze. And I drank that, and we finished breakfast. And somebody announced it was time to go to work. Grab your buckets and your forks. And I stood up from the picnic table, and I went and fell in the sand. And my dad started laughing, and my mom started laughing, and my dad looked down and said, "Well, looks like somebody got out of work." And I remember I was laying there in the sand on my side like this, looking up, and I heard that, and I'm looking at the table, and I smiled. And they all took their stuff, and everybody left me, and they went to the beach and did their clamming. And when they came back, they found me. I had got up on the picnic table, drank all the antifreeze my sisters and brothers left, and went to sleep on the bench. Passed out drunk. And they carried me into the camper and put me in bed, and I woke up in Visalia. That was my first drunk. And I drank like that till I was 35 years old. That's how I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I drank like that from the beginning to the end. I didn't start drinking at 9 years of age, don't get me wrong. I didn't drink again until I was 17. But as soon as I started drinking, I drank exactly like that. Full-blown, all the way. And I did not want to stop. There was no desire for me to stop. Now, I'd be lying to you if I told you I came to Alcoholics Anonymous simply because my life was upside down as a result of alcohol. The truth of the matter is I came to Alcoholics Anonymous because I learned, and this scared me to death, I learned that alcohol was in complete control of me and there was nothing I could do about it. And that's the only reason I came here. See, I could not stand the idea of anything, anyone, anywhere being in charge of me. I had to be 100% free. And the idea that I could not quit drinking when I didn't want to drink, at the age of 35, just before my 35th birthday, I decided I was never going to drink again, and 15 days later got drunk against myself. Had an argument and lost. With me. Nobody but me. I argued with myself for 35 minutes. I promised myself I was never going to get drunk. And my brain told me, yeah, shut up, stupid. You've done that for 15 days and you did it. So you know what you've done? You've proved that you can quit when you want. So go have a drink and quit again. That's what my brain told me. You know what I told my brain? I think you're right. And I went and got drunk again and ended up in Tulare County Jail with another DUI. And it wasn't the DUI that brought me to AA. It was a DUI third offense. I was looking at 2 years in prison. That didn't scare me. I wasn't smart enough to be scared by that. What scared me was that when I woke up and realized what I had done, even though I was 15 days sober and hadn't had a drink, promised myself I was never going to drink again, got drunk against my will, and I knew there was something that had complete control over me and there was not a thing I could do about it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I knew I was going to get drunk again and there was nothing I could do about it. But there was no way I was going to keep me from drinking. That's what brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous. I came here scared to death of me. And I stayed scared to death of me for a couple of years. There's some old-timers around here that can attest to that. They used to try to calm me down and tell me, "Jack, don't take yourself too serious. Don't take it easy. Don't be so hard on yourself." And I'd tell them, "You don't understand. I got to take me serious. I'll get me killed. My stupid brain's going to get me drunk again, and I'm going to end up dead. I'm my worst enemy." And I believe that. What happened was I stayed here long enough to hear some really good things. I got a good sponsor. You know, and they tell you funny ways to get, they tell you things about getting a sponsor. They tell you to listen for somebody with a good message, somebody with a message like yours. You know, I drank for a lot of years and I did a lot of other things. I was actually a garbage pail kid and I didn't really start with drinking. I actually started with sniffing paint and glue. And then I graduated to left-handed cigarettes. But I ended up drinking, and alcohol was always my drug of choice. Along the road, I did a lot of other things that we don't talk about in AA. One morning, some guy said his wife was cooking mushrooms in the kitchen. Did anybody want some? I thought they were offering us breakfast, and I said yes. And they brought me this mushroom, and it's about this long. It's on a plate, just like you do for breakfast. And I thought, cool, not much. Where's the eggs and taters, for Christ's sake? But I ate it, and then I crawled around for 8 hours. So I've been there. I've done a lot of different things. But alcohol was my thing. And the truth of the matter is, Bacardi Rum 151 straight from the fifth was the drink I chose over everything. I loved it. I really loved it. And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous in complete control of alcohol. Alcohol was my ruler and my master, and I came here scared to death of me. And the people in AA circled around me, and they held me up. They put their arms around me, and they said, "Welcome, newcomer. Keep coming back. It'll be okay. We have a solution." They taught me the big book. They told me to get one, and I did. And they showed me how to use it. And they taught me how to work the steps out of it. And they told me to get a sponsor. They said, "Find somebody who has something you want." And this guy walked into a meeting one night, and he shared a story like mine. But what really impressed me, when he walked into the meeting, he had this real pretty little girl on his arm. And he announced she was his girlfriend. And I knew right away he had something I wanted. So I asked him to be my sponsor. 2 weeks later, he announced at a meeting that he had asked her to marry him, and she said yes. And I almost fired my sponsor. But we worked the steps together, and I loved the man. We went through all the steps, and we spent hours at his house. I did my fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh step with him on the same day. We started at about 7:30 in the morning. I didn't leave his house till about 9:30, 10 o'clock that night. His wife fixed coffee for us, fixed breakfast, lunch, and dinner for us. And we sat out there and worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and things changed in my life. And the day came when I no longer feared alcohol or me, when I was no longer the prisoner of alcohol. See, I found a God of my understanding in this program, and I found out that the God of my understanding has power over everything. That when I truly give my life to the God of my understanding, I have nothing to fear. Nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. So I got this sponsor, and I started working these steps with him, and we're going along, and things are pretty good. I think I was, I believe I've been around so long, I get the dates wrong, the timology wrong, I guess. But I think it was somewhere around 2 years sober. I was on this softball team. And the softball team I played softball with was a bunch of my old buddies, hanging out buddies. Most of them were bartenders. They weren't members of Alcoholics Anonymous. The manager of the team brought an ice chest of beer every week. And after the game, every week, he would pull the ice chest, because you can't drink during the game. And in our leagues around here, they don't allow that kind of stuff. But it was okay to have it afterwards. So he would pull the ice chest out when the game was over and start passing out beers. And every week, he would ask me if I wanted a beer. And every week, I would tell him, "No, I'm in AA. I don't drink anymore." And this went on for weeks. Went on for 6, 7, 8 weeks. Every week I kept telling him no. He kept asking me. I kept telling him no. He kept asking me. I was really kind of getting tired of it. And I had this girlfriend in AA. And she decided she liked some other newcomer in Pine better. So she split with me to check out this newcomer in Pine. And I was upset with her. Then I had this job working as a mechanic, but they figured out I didn't have a license and couldn't test drive vehicles I was working on, so they had to let me go. So I was upset with them. And I went home, and nothing is going right, and I'm telling God out in the backyard of my house, "I don't understand. I'm going to meetings. I'm working the steps. I got a sponsor. I didn't take his girlfriend." Everything I'm working for keeps falling apart. Not only that, God, but you got this stupid guy every week offering me beers. And every week I tell him I don't drink, I'm in AA, and every week he offers me a beer again. I think you want me to drink. You know what, God? This week I'm going to the ball game, and when that guy offers me a drink, I'm going to say it's you doing it, and I'm going to drink it. I told him that. Now, I was serious. I'm this kind of dense, okay? And I go to the game. And we play, and the game finishes, and he breaks the ice chest out, and he opens it up, this manager, and he starts passing out beers to everybody. And when everybody but me's got a beer, he closes the lid and puts his foot on it. And I'm like, what was that? Oh, it's okay. He's going to pass out seconds. He just missed me. When he does seconds, he'll give me one. We'll see, God. So I wait, and sure enough, they finish their first beer. He opens it up, starts passing out seconds to everybody. When everybody but me's got one, he closes the lid and puts his foot on it again. What the heck? Now, I'm still not understanding what's going on. Somebody with more intelligence than me might already have figured it out, but I ain't got to figure it out. I'm standing there. They finish their second beer, and somebody says, well, wife should have dinner on the table by now. I think I better get home. And everybody else says, yeah, you know, I think my wife's got dinner ready too. They all get in their cars and leave. And I'm still standing there, and I'm like, what has happened? And then somebody in the park shuts the lights out. And I'm standing at Plaza Park with no lights and nobody around going, are you serious? I am totally confused. What's this about? So the only thing I could think to do was get on my phone and call that guy with the pretty girl. And I called him and told him everything, and he started laughing. He said, Jack, come over to my house. My wife has some coffee on. We'll sit down and talk. And I get in my car and I drive to my sponsor's house and we sit down and we talk. And he takes me back to the prayer in my backyard when I'm talking to God. And he tells me, did you know you were praying to God? I said, no, I was talking to him. No, that's praying. When you talk to God, you're praying. And when you're praying, God's listening. You may not know it, but he showed you at Plaza Park. He was listening. You're not supposed to drink anymore, Jack. Come back tomorrow and we'll start working the next step. I said, okay. Went home, went to bed, and I slept like a baby. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Tell you the truth, I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous with a lot of virtues. I had a whole bucket list of character defects and probably no virtues at all. And I didn't see any reason why a guy like me should get to stay sober. Didn't want to drink anymore, couldn't keep myself from drinking, and didn't see any reason why a guy like me should be able to be sober. I met a lot of beautiful people in AA that I thought deserved to be sober way more than me, and they kept getting drunk. I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it. I met this guy, I swear to God, you people, I met this guy in my first recovery home in a VA hospital, and this guy was neat cut, he was nice, he was from money, he was pressed and rolled from head to toe, he looked like the Tom Selleck of the Westerns. I swear to God, he had a beautiful Stetson hat, he had pearl-shined cowboy boots, he wore a beautiful Levi with a championship bareback riding buckle, beautiful friggin' pressed Western shirts. His wife came in and she come in to the place there to visit him on family night, and she's in this beautiful gown. She looks like a model out of one of the Vogue magazines. I swear to God, just friggin' beautiful. And they got a boy. Oh my God, a boy about his age. And that boy's in a cowboy suit like his dad, with shiny boots like his dad, with a Stetson hat like his dad, with a buckle on his jeans. And he's just walking like a peacock proud of his dad. And his dad was told, if he don't quit drinking, his liver's going to burst and he's going to die. And this is his last chance at living. And he got drunk. And we buried him before I got out of the VA hospital in a 28-day program. He had every reason in the world to live, and he couldn't get it. And I had nothing. I didn't understand. Today I don't understand. I don't understand why a guy like me gets to be sober. And I was not a great guy. I got to be honest with you. And I don't understand why a guy like me is loved by so many people. I don't understand. You know, when I was at the Pine Recovery Center, I'm a proud product of Pine, and I was in Pine, and I did the 90-day program at Pine, but it got kind of cut short on me. And you guys in Pine and the girls in New Visions will appreciate this. I was in the middle of my 90 days, and a war broke out over there in Iran. It ended up being a 3-day war. But I was the battalion motor sergeant of the 2nd-1 Mechanized Infantry Battalion, California Army National Guard. And because that war broke out, Iran was invading a little town or a little country called Kuwait. Our country mobilized the military to go over there. And the National Guard are usually the first to go, and my battalion is the anti-tank battalion for the National Guard in the United States of America. We have all the weapons for fighting tanks, which is very essential in a desert warfare like that. So guess what? They were mobilizing my entire battalion. And my commanding officers came to Pine and asked Pine to release me because I was the battalion motor sergeant and they needed me. They didn't have a replacement for me. And I had 8 years active duty in the Marine Corps, and almost 7.5 years in the National Guard, 15-something years in the military, and my experience and my professionalism was needed if we were going to go to Iran. And the staff told them, my commanding officers, I could only just kind of picture this, but the staff told them, well, we can't make Jack leave. You'll have to present your case to him, and it'll be his decision. If he wants to stay, he stays, and you can't do nothing about it. So they brought me in, and they threw that in my lap, and I looked at them, and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be out of Pine. I'm afraid of me. I'm going to get me drunk. You don't understand. I need to be here. This is the only safe place for me. But those are my guys. I've been training those guys for 8 years. All those guys work under me, and they trust me, and they need me. And I told them I'll go. The guys in Pine and the girls in Vision and Pine Recovery Center. Pine Recovery Center gave me an early exit, full exit, with a brick and all the stuff, a certificate of completion, had a big party for me. The girls from New Visions gave me these beautiful cards, and I got like 7 of them at home. One of them had a sterling silver envelope opener with praying hands on it. And I got that at home. The guys at Pine gave me like 15, 20 cards and a couple bookmarkers. And the men's director gave me a book that said, Remember Rule 32, which is kind of funny because I got mad at him about that. And I got all that stuff. And I went back to my battalion. They let me go. I went to my battalion. We sat in a armory for about 48 hours. And the war ended. They called a ceasefire. We didn't get sent. They sent me home. I came back and walked back into the meetings over here. And everybody's like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be at war. I said, it's over. It's done. We won. They surrendered. We're not going. But we gave you cards. We told you to keep it. You tricked us. It was funny. I loved it. I think Alcoholics Anonymous is probably the most amazing thing that I have ever run across, bar nothing. And that the God I've learned to understand because of Alcoholics Anonymous is the most incredible being that there ever was or ever will be. A guy like me had been sober a quarter of a century because of them. because of those two things, Alcoholics Anonymous and God, and nothing else. You know, my 25 years, this anniversary of my being sober is a celebration for Alcoholics Anonymous and God. It's a testament of just how good they are. Because a guy like me doesn't supposed to be sober. It's not my anniversary, it's theirs. And I never forget that. I really don't. When my friend behind me asked me, where do I go, or what do I think, or what do I say when times get hard? I don't go anywhere, I don't do anything, and I definitely try not to think. My thinking always got me in trouble. What I learned here in Alcoholics Anonymous is, good or bad, I always direct and focus my day in my life towards the God of my understanding. And that as long as I'm going in that direction, there's nothing I have to fear. There's nothing I have to worry about. I don't know what time it is because I really can't see that clock that well from here. But 15 minutes. Wow. Did I talk that much and said that? Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you, too. I got an interesting call today. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I've had a couple of phone calls telling me happy birthday, and one of them, a good friend of mine, Charlie Munson, called me. Thanks. And told me, hey, Jack, I was checking my phone list, and I see on here under your name and your sobriety date, 10/28/90. So your birthday's today, right? I said, yeah. He said, you're 25 years sober today? I said, yeah. He says, happy birthday, brother. He says, I saw that, and I thought, I just got to call you and tell you happy birthday and let you know that I'm chairing a meeting at the Alano Club tonight if you'd like to come on down. I started laughing. I said, I love you, Charlie. Thanks a lot. And I'd just like to tell you, I'm chairing the meeting at the Ice House tonight. I'm the speaker at the Ice House tonight, if you'd like to come on down. He says, oh, dang, I wish I'd have known that beforehand. Before I took the responsibility of chairing this one, because I would have liked to have been there, Jack. I said, well, it starts at 7, and yours don't start till 8. I'm still honoring. I love people, I do. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I see so many faces that I admire and respect in here tonight, and so many new faces that I hope have a chance to experience what I've experienced. Give themselves a break, you know. Oh, I was going to tell you about that guy pissing me off with that Rule 32. He wrote it in this little book called, it's the yellow one. I got a red one that's living, I think the yellow one is Living Sober. And the red one is what? Came to Believe. Anyways, he wrote it in the Living Sober book. Right inside the inside page, I remember Rule 32. So I went home and got my big book, and I read it from front to back. I've already read it a couple times from front to back, but I had never looked for rule. Is it 62? Rule 62. I never looked for it before. But because he wrote that, I'm reading the whole book to find it. I read the whole book, and I didn't find it. So I went back and read it again. I read the big book 3 times looking for Rule 62. And I never found it, and I got mad. I was like, why did I gotta write something like that? Man, that's mean. I'm going to go tell him about it. I went down there. I went down to Pine. Walked right into the men's director, Bill Jurgensen, told him, dude, why'd you write this in here? He said, what do you mean? I said, I've read the big book 3 times, back to front, and it's not in there. There's no Rule 62. He started laughing at me, like you guys are laughing. I said, what's so funny? That's not funny. He said, it's in the 12x12, dummy. You're reading the wrong book. See, I'm not too swift. So I read 12x12, and he was right. It's there, Rule 62. Don't take yourself too darn serious. I didn't know. But I learned. I just keep coming back. I just keep meeting beautiful people, and I just keep learning. And the most important thing that I can tell you is that this process that we do, these 12 steps, developing a relationship with God, our own relationship, our own personal relationship, not my wife's relationship, not my sponsor's relationship, my own relationship. I have a relationship with God today that's mine and His and nobody else's. Has nothing to do with what anybody else thinks. That relationship that I have with Him and these steps have set me free from everything and changed everything in my life. Changed absolutely everything. And it, good times or bad, I have no fear. You know, my mom is 82 years old. And she was diagnosed with melanoma. About 7 years ago, and we took her for treatments for 3.5 years, and I trusted God, and I took my mom, and we went to Stanford, me and my sisters and her, and we did everything they told us to do. We followed all the procedures, and I prayed to God, and she got a clear record. And then right after she gets a clear record, they find a spot in her lung. And it's lung cancer. And I do the same thing. We take her to Stanford. We go through the procedures. I pray to God. They treat the one spot. That's all they found. One. I've been going back for checkups for 1.5, 2 years. And she's completely clear of all of it. She's got nothing. And you might say, well, that's great. Well, what if it had went the other way? Well, if it had went the other way, she's 82 years old. If it had went the other way, she'd be at home with the God that I found here that loves me enough to make all this kind of things possible. And I have not got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love what it's done for me. I love what I see it doing for people all around me all the time. And the only thing I ever get from coming here is wanting more of it. Just like drinking. Imagine that. Just like drinking. All I ever wanted was more. When I gave myself a chance to experience what I get from being a part of Alcoholics Anonymous, really, really being a part, and just a little piece, but a part, all I want is more. And I think as long as I keep meeting people like you, I'm going to keep getting it. My name's Jack. I'm an alcoholic.